pretty good against him then.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the off-season podcast. I'm Jake O'Brien, and I'm with the one and only
Jack Blanda. Man. Dude, you're gonna have to move your phone a bit. I mean, like the court.
I mean, dude, come on. All right, there we go. There is that better for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
I feel like it wasn't that far from you, but okay.
No, but like the cord's all wrapped up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's yeah.
Wireless mics.
What? We do have wireless mics.
No, I'm saying that would be a great purchase.
We do.
We got the whole setup, actually.
Yeah, we do. We actually have...
Remember, like, the black sheet that we put up in my room, like, a couple years ago?
With the freaking...
RJ
and RJ Zion. Barrett.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, what a time to be alive, man. What a time
Dude,
to be
I
alive.
Dude, I curse jerseys. It's bad.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's you're... Really I think you're 0 for 2 on jerseys.
I got Saquon, RJ, yeah, Lanny Collins.
Yep. Ooh. Yeah, it's a rough time for you. All right, so I texted Blaine a lot. Was it me? I texted you last week, right?
Dude, you take initiative.
Yeah. So I texted Blaine last week, and we were like, you know what? Blaine has kind of done school now. I've been done school, and I was like, Blaine, we just gotta get in a routine, man. We gotta get in a routine of getting podcasts out. So,
which is what we said for the past like three times we tried this,
but
yeah.
I have a good feeling about this one.
We both have commitment issues. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, I wanna say almost every Thursday, we'll try and have a podcast recorded at least, and then we'll post it at some point.
Whether or not Tomer likes it or not, I'm gonna be sitting here on
Tomer,
this couch.
Tomer can shut his mouth.
I'm trying to go to bed at 9:30.
Yeah, and we're both gonna be brain rotting talking about bets and stuff like that. So I mean, you know, what's up? You know.
Cool. All right.
So yeah, we're gonna yap about football a little bit. It's kind of okay. So here's how we're gonna take this episode. Right, we're gonna talk about football a little bit. Giants have something to look forward to. Okay, you're projected to number one pick, Shedeur Sanders, future New York Giants.
Listen, if you are part of my life. You know how I feel about this. I want the number two pick, and you know why?
Why? Why do you want
because,
number two?
Because, listen, Cam, Sanders, at this point, I don't really care.
Okay.
I would like Cam. I think Cam's a better NFL quarterback than Sanders will be. Better arm, better size. But I don't know if the Giants get the number one pick. The guy that they choose is going to be the biggest bust.
He's going to be, yeah.
And the guy that the Raiders get is going to be a perennial all-pro, 10-time, multiple MVPs. Listen, if we have the number two pick and that happens, then I have something to blame it on. Oh, where the Raiders got the 1A guy and we had to pick him and all this kind of stuff. But I have no faith. I know whatever quarterback we're going to get is going to suck. It's just how it is. We have this black cloud over us. Our injury report is longer than a grocery list. And yet, Leonard Williams is playing a full season. Julian Love is playing a full season. Xavier McKinney's playing a full season. And, quite shockingly, I think the most surprising is
Saquon Barkley is playing a full season. Yeah. I don't know if, yeah.
I have no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope.
Really?
There is no hope. I think...
There's none at all.
There's none.
Okay.
But this is the first time in, I think, about 7 years we have had more than $15 million in cap room going into an offseason. We have $60
million. You can do something with that.
You can do something with $60 million.
I'm trying to think if there's any notable free agents available.
T.
Yeah, T. Higgins is definitely one. Let's take a look.
Listen, I don't know who would want to go to the Giants, though.
So, who do you want? Who do you want? Who do you want in the draft, number one?
Oh, I want Cam.
You want Cam? Why?
I just said why. Were you not listening to me?
I was, like, bigger profile, whatever, but, like...
Better arm. Okay. I think he's more calm and collected. I think he actually gets a backyard football game.
Okay.
Cool. Like, I like that. I don't need all the flashy showmanship. I mean, I think he's going, like, I think if he's in last year's draft, we're talking about him in, like, the same breath as Drake May. He's not Caleb Williams. He's not Jaden Daniels. But, like, all right, cool. You know, and the fact that he's in the 2025 class, not the 2024 class, he probably guaranteed himself an extra $8 million by being the number one overall pick. So there you go. Congrats, Cam Ward. You now have a $24 million signing bonus to suck for 5 years.
Good sign, Trey Smith.
I mean, I haven't... My mind's fully in baseball land right now.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at the Giants. I don't really want to. It's the 100th season and Wellington Mara is rolling in his grave. I mean, this is... right when you think it can be rock bottom, it just it gets worse.
Do you think Daniel Jones is going somewhere? Surely someone will sign him.
Dude, honestly, Las Vegas takes him and take Travis Hunter.
Dude, stop. Literally stop. All
right.
That's such a bad take. They're taking a quarterback.
All right.
All right. So, Giants, all right, cool draft. We can talk about that in a few months because it's so far away. And there's no point in talking about prospects who aren't even done yet.
And here's my whole thing for... my NFL recap of the Giants.
Okay.
They suck.
Hey, Tyrann Chase is pretty cool, though. He's pretty cool.
Listen, I don't know if any of you watched the Manchester United game or in the Spurs game today. Sorry, my boy Jason Fields just DM'd me back because I DM'd him. Mm. I said I would have outplayed both those backup goalies today. It was a horrendous showing.
I actually didn't get to watch that game.
Go look up the goals that were scored.
Okay.
I genuinely think I was a better goalie today than both those guys that were in net for the Carabao Cup. And I would have loved
the opportunity to play
in front of...
Is it in Old Trafford?
No, it was a...
Or is it a Tottenham?
I don't know what their stadium's called.
Yeah, because they
suck. Some oil money stadium.
Yeah, who cares?
And it was horrendous. It was the worst goalkeeping I've seen in a long time from professionals. Anyway, sorry, continue about the actual football.
Yeah. So, don't put your mic down.
They suck.
No, listen.
We had a great draft. We suck.
I need you to bounce off me with the Eagles.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. I'm listening to you.
Right. Now, I just want to point this out. That.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I hate this. But Jason Fields also reiterates, you would have outplayed both of them today. That's the Sarge saying that.
So that's Sarge. Yeah.
That's Sarge.
So yes, sir.
Wasn't even my peak years yet, and he's saying that.
Wow.
So.
All right. Wow. Shout out Jason Fields. That's a Karen legend right there. But anyway. Eagles. Mitchell. Is it too early to say he's rookie defensive player of the year? Who is it?
No, it's Verse.
It's Verse, you think?
It's Verse.
Okay, can you tell me why, though? Because I actually think, like, if Mitchell had a few more interceptions, it would be...
Oh, yeah.
A few. Not even. But they're not even throwing in his direction. That's how good he is.
Oh, my word. But that's the thing that only people care about.
I understand that, but they're not even throwing in his direction.
But that's fine. Like I get that, but that's why Sertan's only having so much stats, because no one even looks the right half of the field.
Yeah.
Because he's over there.
Exactly.
Okay, congrats. Quinyon Mitchell's amazing. But he doesn't have the stats, which is what everyone wants to talk about.
So would you say Jared Verse is a better... Is a better rookie than Quinyon Mitchell, or is it just statistically he just has better stats?
I think he was the best overall defensive player when they were picking. Okay. I think for the Eagles' sake, like, you don't need another defensive lineman.
Yeah.
So, like, sure, we can talk about him in the same breath as Jalen Carter, but, like, he would not have helped... He would not have moved the needle as much as Quinyon Mitchell is moving the needle for you guys.
I agree. Well, wait. Jared Verse is not in the same category as Jalen Carter. Let's calm down. Jalen Carter gets held every game.
I'll just bite my tongue. Everyone gets held in every single play, dude. It's just a matter... It's just whether or not they call it.
No, but they seemingly never seem to call it on Jalen Carter.
Okay.
They don't. He gets doubled and held. It's the Aaron Donald effect.
All I'm saying is, like, for the Eagles, Quinyon Mitchell is the right pick. We were talking about Nate Wiggins. We were like, he's from Toledo. Is going to translate? And usually it takes corners 3 or 4 years, which is what I thought was going to happen with them. And it happened right away. Same with Cooper DeJean. The transition from college to pro is seemingly not taking effect. And it also helps when you have a good coordinator who coordinates to the player's strength. Shane Bowen. You wonder why everyone took a step back this year on the Giants' defense is because we have... Can't say that. It's because we have him as our defensive coordinator. So, anyway, I think, yeah, I mean, sure, he'll get votes. It's first.
I just don't think the best player is going to get picked for that award.
When does the best player ever get picked? Like, if we're talking about MVP, like, most valuable player to your team. To a team? Sure, I'll say it. It's Saquon.
Yeah.
Is he going to win it?
Probably, no. No, he won't.
Okay, Josh Allen. The Heisman. Who should have won it? The dude that almost broke Reggie Bush's rushing record? Yeah, probably him. Nope, it's the guy that can play two different spots.
Two different positions.
Exactly. Yeah. When is the best player ever win it?
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's your solace there, even though I think Jared Verse is better than Quinion.
Yeah, I just disagree, but...
Especially for the Eagles.
Anyway, so you look at the Eagles this year, which we haven't really talked about. We haven't talked about the Eagles at all in the podcast because we haven't had a podcast this whole entire season. But you look at the Eagles, there were a lot of question marks coming into this season. I know Bland has been a pretty big advocate of never paying running backs, but when they're seemingly on the road to breaking an all-time record, which I don't know if it's possible for Barkley to break it at this point in the season, but...
He's sitting week 18, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, seemingly Barkley's not going to break it, but he'll be pretty close. He'll probably have... I want to say he'll hit 2,000, but... yeah. So...
And let me clarify. I'm not saying Saquon Barkley doesn't deserve the $13.5 million. He probably deserves more. But logistically making a team, it doesn't make sense. Especially because the fact that your Super... And this is all I'll say, and this is it. Especially because your Super Bowl window is in the next couple of years. If you're saying a secondary piece is going to take 3 or 4 years to develop, if you're drafting him, that doesn't fit your timeline. You get what I'm saying? But it worked out. They had a plan and it worked out. I give them credit for that. It just wouldn't have been the plan that I would have chosen. I would not have paid Zach Bond the league minimum to be my middle linebacker, but it worked out. I would have used that money that they gave Saquon in 4 different areas.
We've already talked about this, and we'll say this. If we have this argument again, we'll just go back and forth for an hour.
I know, but that's my stance on it. Like, oh, lad. There he goes.
Lad McConkey the goat. Hopefully he carries me this week in playoffs.
So anyway, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for you to tell me 4 players that can amount to the... In the free agency window last season, I'm still waiting for you to tell me
I haven't looked it up because, again, my head's been in baseball.
Yeah, world. That's fine. But...
That's all I'm saying. That's how I would build a football team.
Okay, fair enough. But anyway, Barkley having an excellent year. Last week, he was a little slow. Not slow, but... he had a little bit of an injury. I actually was at that game, an electric game to be at. Barkley got hurt a little bit. Gainwell came in, was a difference maker this week. A guy who came into the season seemingly going to lose his role to Will Shipley, who got drafted. Came in, made some big plays. I think he had 3 third-down conversions himself, so that was pretty big. I think... This year, as a Philly fan, I always kind of humble myself and not, yeah.
Please.
Stop. Okay, no, but I have low expectations just because it's Philly, and we don't win ever. So it's kind of difficult to sit here and say Eagles are Super Bowl contenders, even though we are. I have my expectations so low because I'm tired of being disappointed in every sport. But anyway, seemingly this would be the year. You have the Lions who, according to news... Wow, he just got murdered. Sorry, we're kind of watching the Broncos-Chargers game at the same time. seemingly David Montgomery is out for the season as well.
No, he's rehabbing.
I saw he was rehabbing, though. He might be back for the postseason. But
the Aiden Hutchinson loss is...
Hutchinson was the biggest loss yet. And then there's Carlton Davis. They lost one of their... I think they lost another starting D lineman. I can't remember his name. Yeah, Lions just can't catch a break.
And I don't actually know this. How much do the Eagles have on the injury report? It's not a lot, right?
We don't have...
Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
besides,
I
mean, besides like Huff, that's it.
That's like... And what did he do?
Yeah, which is like he's a rotational guy for us at this
right,
point.
Right, for $54 million. Anyway,
yeah. But the goal is... And that's someone who I want to talk about. You know, you think about there are concerns the first three games about the schemes and how we weren't getting pressure on the quarterbacks. Josh Sweat has been Josh Sweat. He's looked like his normal self. I would like to point out Nolan Smith has taken a big step this year. And that's, I think that's just awesome because he was taking preseason snaps last season. So there was a concern that he wasn't going to be at the level that he needed to be at to be a starting rusher. But here we are, and he's playing great football. I literally saw him leap hurdle over a freaking lineman last week. He looks confident. He looks like he's having fun. Trying to think who else is notable. I mean, obviously, you want to talk about Zach Bond, who's...
The best player for the Eagles.
Yeah, he literally just came out of nowhere.
The best player for the Eagles this year.
And he's having probably an all-pro season.
If you win the Super Bowl, you shake that man's hand and buy him a steak dinner if you see him at a restaurant, because he is the reason why you guys would have won it.
But Zach Bond has been absolutely incredible the whole season, honestly. There's really not... I want to say this has to be the most complete Eagles team. Is it ever? You think about it. Like, there was so much drama coming into the Steelers game this week about, you know, AJ Brown saying, what's the problem with the offense? And he said passing.
Him complaining about an offense, he should just watch the Giants tape.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the offense is fine for the Eagles. They're putting up 5 a game?
See, I would agree with you. But at the same time, it's like when you have a guy like AJ Brown and he has the ball in his hands, you win. Like, you're in a better position to win football games. And I feel like heading into the Steelers, we were a little too one-dimensional in the run. We were not a threat throwing the ball at all. And I feel like especially this week, Jalen Hurts proved that he can still throw the ball.
Yeah, I think it was Hurts' best week of the
season.
Yeah,
easily.
I mean, he made good decisions. So, I mean, and to go back to your point, yes, this is the best team you have had since you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it.
No.
So.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're just looking to get the one seed at this point, which, you know, if you look at the rest of our schedule, it's not very difficult to win the last three games for us. We got Commanders this week, which is probably the hardest game we'll have. And then we have the Cowboys and the Giants, while the Lions still have the Vikings and the 49ers to play.
Don't be worried about the Niners.
I don't know. They're one of those teams that like could just go off for no reason.
The Vikings, sure. Because the Vikings do this year in and year out where we're like, how on earth are they 12-2?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, you do everything right.
Yeah.
You know? So, the Vikings, sure. Is it at? It's not. It's home. The Lions have that home, right?
I can't remember. I thought they already played them.
They already played them at U.S. Bank Stadium. Is that it? I don't know. Nothing happens up in Minnesota, dude.
Yeah, no.
Which is why Byron Buxton needs to come to the Yankees. That was a pipe dream. That was a 3 a.m. thought for me at one of these nights. I was just like, what if we got Byron Buxton?
Oh, yeah, they were at Minnesota.
They already played and won right on that field goal last second. Yeah. Oh, my word.
That was an electric game.
Ball now just through the roof.
So,
yeah, it's a tough game. I think the Lions, if they want to have any shot of going to the Super Bowl this year, have to have the number one seed. And I think you've seen how the Lions are vulnerable, right? The Lions want to set the tone early. They want to run the football, and they want to run the football not for the first drive, not for the first quarter, but for the first half. You know, that's what they're built on, is Montgomery to Gibbs. And I think that if the Eagles, even if they go to Ford Field, if the Eagles get the kick, march down the field, score, takes the Lions completely out of their element, right? Because then they're going to have to pass more early on. We saw with the Bills. I mean, they put a fine amount of 48-42. You're not complaining about that points-wise, right? But, like, I think there's a clear way to beat the Lions, and it's getting in front early and getting up early by multiple possessions because they want to run the football. And I think the Eagles have the capabilities of doing that, especially if they're at the lake.
Yeah.
So,
Jared Goff never plays well in the cold. You know what they say? Lions Stadium in the Dome.
The Bills are winning a Super Bowl.
They look really good.
Dude. I said it from like week 7 they're winning the Super Bowl.
Dude.
Josh Allen's throwing to Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, and he's putting up 500 yards.
Josh Allen?
He's having one of those seasons that you tell your grandkids about.
Dude, he's unbelievable.
It's like he's throwing off his back foot 65 yards into triple coverage. And like, it's,
Josh Allen has been it's actually unbelievable. I'm trying to look up what he's had the last three games, yards-wise.
Since he's been engaged. Since he's been engaged, I think he's averaging 393 yards.
342 against the Rams, 362 against the Lions. Oh my gosh, he's unreal. Yeah, he's like, it was before like week 8, it was Lamar as a lock. It's Josh Allen. Josh Allen's the clear favorite now to win the MVP, and I don't think there's any debate otherwise. You could have hinted at Saquon maybe, but it's a quarterback position, positional award basically. So yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's just a lock for MVP at this point.
And you can't forget about the Chiefs.
No, they always, I swear they...
Like, everyone wants to point out, oh, they could be 6-8 right now.
They signed a deal with the freaking devil.
Good teams win by one possession. Yeah. Bad teams lose by one possession.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, they're a good team.
They're a good team. It's, honestly, it's just about the same team. Can the Chiefs be the first team that wins the Lombardi 3 years in a row?
I mean, like, if you're going to pick a year that they don't win it, it's this year.
It would be this year, right?
But, it's kind of like, I have to see them lose, and not like, oh, you're up by 14 points in the fourth quarter. Like, the clock has to hit zero, and they have less points than the other team. For me to, like, really be like, okay, someone beat them in the postseason.
Yeah. What would you say right now your Super Bowl matchup would be? Bills Eagles.
And it's been Bills Eagles for the past couple of weeks now.
Yeah. I would love to be in New Orleans. That's really all I wanted. I mean, Eagles just look good. Like, there's nothing really, like, I don't, like, the only weakness I can think of was kicker, but Jake Elliott looked really good against Pittsburgh. And you know who Jake Elliott is.
And when your weakness is the kicker position, you're a good team.
Yeah.
Holy frick, Marvin Mims.
He's gone.
Oh my word, see ya. Spin cycle. Derwin James is trying to pants him. Oh my word.
What a move.
I can't believe that safety actually thought that he was cutting back in the middle of the field there. Come on, dude.
Dude, how old is James nowadays? He's gotta be older.
Here, just wait. He's going down the sideline. Great, great. And then he puts his foot in the ground. Like, what, did you actually think he was going back in the middle of the field into two defenders? Dude, come on, man. It's embarrassing. That's a massive hold right there on 84. Who's that, Troy Franklin? Yeah. Let the kids play. That's what I say. Bo Nix is really good.
Yeah, he's pretty good at football. He's playing really efficient football.
Campbell, I know we all said, oh my word, Javonte. Dude. 12 of 16 with a drop and a touchdown. Like,
all right. Listen, Campbell, you know I'm a hater of the Broncos. Play someone good and then we'll talk. Sean Payton's notes says run it with an exclamation point. It's really funny. All right, anyway. Are we kind of done about, like, there's really, like, we know the Eagles are good. Rest of the season is pretty self-explanatory. You just win. Hope you get the one seed. Everyone's playing good football.
And the exact opposite can be said about the Giants.
Yes.
No one's playing good football.
No.
Lose. Please lose.
Yeah.
And I think... I'm torn. I want to hear your opinions. Do they keep Shane and Dable? Can you? If you go 2-15, worst record in franchise history, and you don't win a game at home, can you keep them?
I think you keep Dable.
Oh, I'm the complete opposite. I was like, I think you can keep Shane.
Really? I think you keep Dable and see how he does with a quarterback.
I like my whole thing is, like, I can go rounds 1-6 right now and say, this dude has had an impact on our team right now. And that's easy to say when you're a terrible team for rookies. Like, oh, this dude's had an impact. But, I mean, like, you go Malik Nabers, stud.
We knew that.
Tyler Newbin.
He's aight. He's a rotational guy.
He's not Xavier McKinney. He's aight.
He's aight.
Drew Phillips, who's one of the highest ranked corners, rookies.
He's been pretty good.
He's been solid.
Banks.
He hits.
Was Banks round one pick?
Yeah. No, Banks was a couple years ago.
Well, yeah, you were talking recent round. Or are you talking,
I'm talking about this past year.
Okay, yeah.
And then Theo Johnson. I know you love him.
He looks pretty good.
He's coming into his own last half of the season. Then got
is
hurt.
Bellinger gone?
And he's just a blocking tight end.
He's blocking tight end.
And then five was Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy looks good.
You
too.
Say, like, you can't like fault them. They drafted well. The dude's never had his hands on his quarterback yet.
I say give them both a chance with a quarterback.
I don't see them playing hard. You know, I look at the Raiders, right? And the Raiders are playing hard for their coach, but, like, they're 2-12.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're bad. Yeah.
I don't see the Giants playing hard for their coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like a dynamic thing. Just because the Raiders are just hard-nosed. Like, they've always kind of been like
that. Why can't we be hard-nosed? We used to be hard-nosed, Jake. It used to be the big blue defense. It used to be, we're going to beat you 6-3 this game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now it's just like...
I mean, you have
They're soft, man.
You have pieces. That's the thing. You have pieces, but
talent on the roster.
You have gaping holes that need to get figured out.
There's talent on the roster.
Yeah, there is. I thought Brian Burns was a great pickup, and he's looked really good this year.
Evan Neal, thank you for 7th overall for doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Frustrating. Because that was a good pick, too. I don't want to hear anyone say it wasn't a good pick, because it was a good pick.
It's Bama, dude.
Yeah, he did it for 2 years.
Yeah, he's a Bama guy. Yeah, he usually picked the higher schools, the nicer schools. Yeah, I don't blame the Giants for taking Neal, but yeah, he has not turned out well at all. I literally am putting my mic down with basketball just because I hate the Sixers. McCain's out, so I literally have no hope for this team at all. I hate Embiid. I literally could have told you this Paul George signing was going to be a disaster from the beginning. And here we are.
We all said it. I don't understand.
Why?
They're just pushing the whole process thing.
Yeah.
They're signing people in Embiid's window instead of Maxey, when Maxey is now the better player. Right?
At this point, yeah, I'd rather Maxey just because he plays.
Why aren't you like building around Maxey and now McCain? Sure, I don't think McCain's been anything like. I know he's out for like an extended period of time, if not the rest of the season now. Yeah. But like, he wasn't amazing. He wasn't amazing. He was really good. I'm dropping dead.
Okay, McCain realistically isn't like a starter in the NBA. Like, I wouldn't say he's like, he'd be a good starter in the NBA.
He just reminds me of Dante.
I would say he got really streaky in the beginning of the season. Like, I think he shot like 53% from three. Like, it was unreal. Is that attainable? No. So, like, I think with how bad this draft was, McCain was probably one of the better picks.
Like, he's like a 3-and-D shooting guard.
Yeah, but he's, like, small. So, like, is he really that good defensively?
You can be small and be good defensively. I hate the whole narrative of that.
You can't.
Please. He's got to be matched up against their backcourt.
That's why Isaiah Thomas is not in the league. But anyway, yeah, I have nothing positive to say about the Sixers at all. Yeah, that's I just can't be bothered. Flyers are cool.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna talk about the Rangers.
Yeah,
3-14 in the last 17 games.
Yeah, that's pretty horrendous. He doesn't even lose anyone really.
Yeah, we lost our heart, and we knew this core sucked from the beginning. That they weren't gonna win anything, and now they're all aging, and it's showing. So it's time to sell while they still have some value. But we're gonna half heart through a rebuild and whatever. I don't want to talk about the Rangers.
Yeah.
I think.
Are we talking about baseball?
Well, I would like to talk about the Knicks for 30 seconds here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, like, I remember looking at Dad and saying, like, when they got Leon Ruiz and World Wide West, and they were like, it's time to get back on board because, like, they have a couple pieces here, and, like, Julius Randle and RJ and Quickly. And I was like, if they put the right dudes in place now, like, I'm excited. Like, I'm excited for what they can build. And there's been some moves that have absolutely pummeled me emotionally. RJ and Quickly for OG. I took a nap, I woke up, and my favorite player was off the team. And then my second favorite player was off the team. And then they trade Randle, who took a flyer on our organization, to rebound his career. And he did that. And, like, I love him for it. I'll never say anything bad about Julius Randle. But they traded Dante and Randall and, like, four guys to Charlotte so they could stay underneath the third luxury tax hit, or the second one of those two, like, the third apron. And, like, Kat's playing like an MVP right now. And, like, I'm with Perk on this one, where it's like, sure, give Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown their flowers. Like, sure, like, they're still the best duo in the league. But I'm taking Brunson and Kat over Dame and Giannis right now. Like, he's that, like, they're that good.
The team that just won the
NBA. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I would disagree, but sure.
I
think the Bucks, the only reason the Bucks aren't as good as they should be is because of coaching. Doc Rivers should not be in the NBA. He will be the reason why the Bucks lose in the playoffs.
Sure.
I would say Tom Thibodeau is just miles clear of Doc Rivers.
He's so good. When they hired him, they hired Wes, they hired Leon Rose.
So here's...
I'm so excited.
So here's...
And, like, yeah, sure, it hasn't clicked yet. And we're 7-10. Or 17-10.
Here's my dilemma with the Knicks. And I'll keep on saying it. You're playing guys 40 minutes a game in the regular season. It's going to catch up. You're going to have injuries very soon. You can't be playing guys 40 minutes in the regular season.
I mean, I think all of the injuries outside of OGs last year were non-conditional ones. Brunson broke his hand on the rim. Randle got undercut going for a layup. Sure. I don't think you can bubble wrap guys. And I think they give them the necessary time off. But the Knicks also don't have the depth right now to say, oh, we're sitting you today, OG Anunoby. Because Precious has been out until the past 2 weeks. Mitch is still out. Campaign was out. He's back now. Shamit was out. Dislocated shoulder. He's coming back now. So, sure. And also, I would like to say that the schedule to begin the season was rough. Like, it was a really tough beginning of the schedule. And now you're going to get into, like, the January and February months where you're playing, like, Raptors, Pistons, Bulls in a week. Where, like, okay, sure, you can sit a guy and, like, still win.
Yeah.
Whereas you were playing, like, the Celtics and Cleveland and the Lakers and, like, Minnesota tonight, where, like, you need all hands on deck to win that game. So, sure, you can say Tom Thibodeau drives his guys into the ground, but I also think, you know, Mikal Bridges, oh, he's not an overpay anymore. He's putting up 20 a game, and he's played 700 games in a row straight. Dude doesn't get hurt. So, like, sure. I think this is the best Knicks team in my lifetime.
Yeah.
They got two lockdown defenders, OG on Tatum, Bridges on Brown, and then let Brunson and Cat go to work. And it's just been a thing of beauty watching them. The pick and roll, the pick and pop. I mean, dude, Cat is quite literally the best shooting big man I've ever seen in my life. He drains it from everywhere. And, like, everyone's saying that, like, he was too soft for New York. We'll see it in the playoffs, sure. But he looks different right now. He is tapped into something, and I love it. Like, he's cocky. He's playing big. He's playing like he owns the place and, like, go right ahead. And Brunson's kind of like that silent killer right now where it's, like, the league doubled him. K didn't work. They put a bigger guy on him. Worked for about 4 games, and then he figured that out. And now he's averaging 25 a game again. And it's just like, Brunson's not going away.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's beating the Celtics, but that's me.
The Bulls are right now. I don't think the Celtics are all that. They're good. And they have to. And you have to give them their flowers because they just won the championship last year. But when do we see teams go back-to-back?
That doesn't matter when the Celtics are this good.
I don't think so. I think they're going, yeah, sure, they're going through a rough stretch right now. Look at their past couple games, how close it's been.
Dude, they're missing, like, half their lineup.
Who? Porzingis came back. Who are they missing right now?
Jaylen Brown's been in and out. Derek White's been in and out. Porzingis has been in and out. Tatum's the only consistent starter they've had. They've had to lean on Peyton Pritchard, who, mind you, is representing as white people really well. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe you're bringing up a regular season game against the Bulls, saying that's the reason.
No, I'm just saying, it's been like that for the past week and a half, 2 weeks now, where it's been like teams that they should handle. They have not been necessarily handling, but yeah, okay, neither are the Knicks, sure.
Yeah, I just think, I don't
think. And Cleveland's not built for the postseason. We all know that. They have no scoring outside the arc.
Yeah, new coach, but yeah.
They have no scoring outside the arc. Like, Isaac Okoro from behind the arc, whoa, you know, like, whoa, like, that LeBron James meme, like, that, whoa, you know, like, oh, like, they don't scare me. And plus, we own Cleveland. We own Cleveland in literally every sport. Like, Cleveland, how'd you lose to the Giants this year?
Dude, Cleveland's just...
Josh Naylor rocking the baby to sleep was, like, the last time I think they've beaten the Yankees in a series. Or in a game, honestly, because we won that series, and then... Here in basketball, like, in 5, Donovan Mitchell, like, please go sign that contract extension. We don't want you anymore. You Mets fan. Weirdo.
So, anyway, that's basketball. I just can't be bothered to talk about basketball.
And I think the Knicks, this is the best shot they have had making the finals in a long time. I think they look so good.
Fair enough.
Defensively, things need to be cleaned up. But you knew that was happening with Cat, and I think that when Mitch comes back and you can put it in a defensive-minded center, it's going to make a lot of those issues go away. So,
Bridges is starting to do a lot better.
Bridges too. Is starting to be worth the 5 picks we gave up.
Yeah.
And OG is just with OG starting and not hurt. I think we only have 7 losses since last January.
Yeah, I mean, OG's
a big difference
maker. He does all the right things on the court. Oh, which I'm interested to see how Cat does in the playoffs. He's historically a really bad playoff performer.
Which is fine because Brunson puts up 40 a game in the postseason.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
What time are we at here? How much more have we got?
It's time to talk baseball. Let's
cool.
Let's talk baseball.
Let's talk baseball.
What
You can start, because once I get going, I'm not going to stop.
You know, Blanda, here's what I'll say.
Rhys Hoskins wasn't the pitcher you wanted?
So here's what I'll say. Phillies baseball is extremely frustrating right now. I feel like the... how do I word this? I feel like we're sitting back and we're saying that, oh, we played a bad week of baseball in the postseason. That's it. If we run it back with the same team, we could be a World Series contender. I could agree with that statement if we weren't so awful in the last 2 months of the regular season. I was talking to you about this a little bit earlier in the week too, Blenda, where I feel like the Phillies, we've put so many trade offers out this offseason, and we haven't succeeded at all, and it's because we're not willing to, like, quote unquote, lose a deal to get the guy.
Who are we talking about right now? What your package to Crochet?
Yeah, like Crochet.
I mean, but like realistically, like I don't really feel like you guys were even like in that conversation.
What do you mean for Crochet?
Yeah, I don't like when I was getting the tweets from John Heyman, right? Or like, it wasn't like they were in serious talks with the White Sox. It was like he was probably gonna go to like another AL team, like the Nationals, or like even like the Nationals maybe. Nationals give up a young prospect because they're kind of like wanting to turn the corner now in their rebuild.
Are you telling me that if we don't have the power to go ahead and trade for a guy like Kyle Tucker?
Oh no, you absolutely have the farm system to go get a guy like that.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think Kyle Tucker's a 1 year rental and like, sure. I don't think that was the best for you guys, maybe. It wasn't the best for the Cubs, and here we are, so what do I know?
I don't think Kepler solves anything. I don't.
Max Kepler just got signed to a 1 year, $10 million contract. Lefty hitter. I was looking up his Baseball Savant, which is my new favorite website. Everyone should go take a look at it. I hate analytics when they're used as the Bible of baseball, but this site's so much fun to look at and about where they rank. You got a guy that is going to be a good defensive outfielder, which is honestly more than what you can say for Austin Hayes. And he bats lefty, and you can never have too many lefties in your lineup. And yeah, he's a good defender. His bat fell off the face of the earth after 2021. But like, maybe you can rekindle some of that. But your core is the same. Like, here's the thing with the Phillies. Is the Phillies, like, you have a lot of money tied up in a lot of big places. Like, Harper's getting paid. Trey Turner's getting paid. Cassianos is getting paid. JT's getting paid. Boehm's somewhat getting paid. Zach Wheeler is getting a bag, right?
He deserves it.
Right. But you can't, like, those six guys combined add up to about $200 million a year. So then you probably have, for the Phillies and where they want to be with the money, you probably have $60 million left over to fill out the rest of the roster. So you're not going to go out and make a bid for Juan Soto, or you're not going to go out and make a bid. I mean, I think Kyle Tucker's due $18 million this year. So like, you got to go find guys that are going to be how you want to play baseball.
And that's the problem. We haven't. You can't.
I think Max Kepler fills in a lot of holes. I don't think he does.
I think we're still starting Marsh or Rojas. And I don't think those, like, Rojas is a utility guy. He shouldn't be in the starting lineup every day.
I don't disagree with that, but Rojas at least gives you something defensively. Like, Cassianos is right now taking up the DH spot. Like, I don't trust him in right field.
From the improvements in every spring that Cassianos has made defensively, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Boehm a little bit, which
future Yankee.
No. Here's what I want to say about Alec Boehm.
In the next 6 years, I should say, when he's like 34, prime Yankees candidate.
Okay. Can you agree with me by saying that trading Alec Boehm would be really stupid for the Phillies to do?
I love Alec Boehm.
I I don't understand why the media is pushing to trade him so hard, because it's like, okay, we go out and trade Alec Boehm to the A's, and we go ahead and get a starting pitcher or reliever from them. Who's going to play third base?
Well,
Rojas? Well, are you putting Rojas at third base?
You're thinking now that, shoot, a reliever is going to make $3 million. Boehm is making what? Can you look that up? Boehm's making this amount of money. You're hoping then that clears up money and you can go make a run at, I don't know who, because pretty much the only third baseman on the market now is...
Boehm's an he's got one more year until he gets... He's a free agent.
Right, that's fine. What's his arbitration projection? Spot rack. That's my place to go.
I think it says it's about $4 million.
No way, it's $4 million for Alex Boehm.
Alec.
Whatever.
Alec Boehm.
This is where we need like our analytic guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's projected 8.1.
8.1, yeah. So, I mean, you get a reliever for $4 million, that clears up $4 million, and then you're at what here? Like $4 million to spend? I mean, you're not going to get anyone amazing. I agree, don't trade Boehm.
Yeah. But, like,
I'm with you.
He had an all star year. Now, mind you, do I think that he has another one? I don't. I think he's like a borderline all star. I don't think he's like a consistent all star. I don't think he's an all-star consistently.
I like Boehm, man. I think Boehm's a solid player, man.
So you think what the Phillies are doing right now is fine? We're not doing anything. We're not adding anything.
I don't know what you can do, Jake. Like, you can shore up the bullpen. That's fine. Your money's... You paid Nola. Which is, again, fine. I like Nola. I don't love Nola. $20.25 projected payroll. Right now, the Phillies are sitting at $277 million. That's with arbitration. To put that in perspective for you, Hotshot, the Yankees are right now, even after all the moves they just made, are sitting at 269.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies have their money tied up. And I get Philadelphia is a bigger market in the MLB, and that's great, and I love what... I forget what their new owner name is. But he's willing to spend, and like that's awesome, and Philly deserves that. But right now, when you have $277 million tied up already... There's very limited options of what you can do. And that, I think this is without the Max Kepler deal. So now you're sitting at 287. Oh, no, they had Max Kepler in. Above spot rack. Zach Wheeler, $42 million. Bryce Harper, 27. Trey Turner, 27. Nola, 24. JT, 23. Schwarber, 20. Castellanos, 20.
JT's expiring, though.
Okay. Not this year.
Yes, he is. This upcoming year, he's expiring.
Right, okay, but he's still on the team right now.
He's on a contract.
Okay, so if you want them to go make big moves, here you go. Ready? You move Bryce Harper to DH, and you go get Vladdy next year. Right? So, but it's not this year. You're going to have to run it back with the same core this year. You can't go out and spend $25 million for Pete Alonso right now because you don't have that money.
I don't want him.
But that's what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, I don't
your
want...
Your core is your core.
I don't want Pete Alonso.
Your core is your core. If you wanted to free up money, you could salary dump Walker. But no one's going to take him. You're going to get pennies for him, and you're probably going to have to eat half the contract. So that's going to free up like $9 million.
Okay. Why are we holding on to... If we're never going to pull them up, and I'm talking about Painter, and I'm talking about Miller.
What level are they in the farm? Like, are they single A, double A, triple A, do we know?
I'm pretty sure they're both single A.
Okay. So that's because, what are they, like, probably 19 to 22? Like, give them some time here. Not everyone's Bryce Harper coming up at 18.
All right, but, like, here's the thing. You have, and this has been quoted by several scouts, that we have two of the best prospects in baseball right now sitting in single A. Why are we, okay, if we're competing now and we're in the window of Bryce Harper at his peak, at his absolute best,
because
why are we just holding on to prospects and not making a move for a big-time player?
Okay, because you're going to then, again, eat. You're going to have contract. You're going to have to add contract. You're already at 277.
You act like there's a salary cap in baseball.
Right, but not every team can go out and spend what the Mets are doing. And even then, the Mets aren't spending that much. The highest payroll you'll see is like $320 million, and that's from the Dodgers. The Phillies don't have the market like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like the Mets, where they can be above the $300 million range. And even then, the Yankees aren't going to go above the $300 range. I would say when it's all said and done, the Yankees are going to be exactly where the Phillies are at, probably around 289. Because there's luxury tax on luxury taxes. And at the end of the day, every owner views it as a business. Whether you like that or not. Whether they say, oh, we're here to put a championship caliber team out there or not. And, like, you could be a Marlins fan or a Rays fan. Where, like, they have to win differently. Like, the whole movie Moneyball is based off of that. Right? Like, not every team has the luxury of going out and getting that Juan Soto. Like, sure, I'm going to listen to all 30 teams this offseason. You're not going to see the White Sox paying $51 million for Juan Soto. Like, that's just not happening. So, you can complain that they're not doing anything, but there's nothing they can do. Unless they dump Tyon Walker's contract. Which, I don't know how they do that.
God, I feel like you're just acting like there's a salary cap in baseball.
Right, but no one's going above the Steve Cohen tax line.
And you have two massive holes coming into the season. Massive holes. A hole filled by Kepler, who I don't think is filling that hole. I think he's just covering it.
I don't know what you want to say.
You signed two guys who had down years last year. Hoping that they have the same season that they had two years ago.
You can't really sign anyone that's... Kepler's going to give you a solid defensive-minded left fielder. You already have your power. Your power's already there in that lineup. What you should be more concerned about is, can we get, I don't know what to say, 150 home runs from those six guys? From Turner, Harper, JT, Bohm, and Castellanos and Schwarber. Those guys have to play. If you're going to win, those guys have to do what they did in 2022. And then, sure, Max Kepler can get hot for a little bit. Or Brandon Marsh can go get hot for a little bit. But you already paid your core. And I got no problem with them keeping... their guys in single A, right? Like, if they believe that they're going to be difference makers in 6 years, like, yeah, sure, they're not on the Bryce Harper timeline, but they might be on a different timeline when Harper's contract's done.
You want to talk about the Yankees?
They don't have any, they don't, the Phillies have no mobility unless they dump contracts.
Which they can.
Yeah, I agree. That's why Bohm's in the media right now. Hey, let's go dump this
contract. That's not a contract to dump, though, because he's not making any money right now.
Okay.
It's arbitrary money.
Yes. Arbitration, and then he's going to go and be a free agent, and the Phillies won't be able to keep him, which is why he's in the process of being talked about traded, because he actually has trade value. Tyon Walker is one of the worst statistical pitchers in the MLB last year. No one wants him. Maybe you can give him to the A's.
That's the problem, though. That I think the Phillies are over-evaluating how much Bohm is actually worth. Trade-wise. They probably reached out to the Astros saying, hey, we'll give you Alec Bohm and, I don't know, some money for Kyle Tucker. Like, they're going to... They picked up that phone and they probably just laughed. Like, that's a joke. There's no way they actually think that...
So you wouldn't trade one of your high-priced possessions and Alec Bohm for Kyle Tucker?
They're both one-year deals, and the one's better than the other by a landslide.
Right, but I mean, I just saw what the Astros did, and the Yankees had a better offer on the table, but they didn't trade with the Yankees because they were the Yankees. That's fine. You're allowed to do that when you're holding the player. Like, but they got, like, Isak Paredes and Wisnowski, who's, like, a career journeyman, started in the Yankees farm system, like, 26 now, like, arm. You don't think they would rather wanted, like, I don't know, one of your fifth ranked prospect in Bohm for Tucker, and you take on an extra $10 million? Would you have done that? Bohm's not bad. He's a third baseman. The Astros wanted a third baseman.
I don't think that's what they were offering, though. Like, I'm saying the Phillies, like, I don't know the actual official offer.
I don't even know if they made an offer from what I saw.
They did. As far as I know, they made an offer for Kyle Tucker. I might be wrong, though. But I just don't... Okay. Pause on the Phillies and Yankees. Why are the Cubs trading for Tucker?
It doesn't affect me, so I don't really... I have no clue what's going on over there. I don't...
Why? They're not...
I don't know. If they re-sign him, sure, I understand it.
But they're not going to.
Maybe. Kyle Tucker's a different beast than Juan Soto, which is what I was trying to tell you, is that not everyone's wired like Juan Soto, where it's like, I'm going to go get as much money as humanly possible, and I don't really care about what team I go to.
Okay, I feel like you're... What's the word here?
Hating?
Yeah.
Trashing? Well, it's true.
Okay.
The Mets offered him 50.
If I'm a professional sports player, Blanda, I'm going to, like...
Who has a better future right now, the Mets or the Yankees? Who gives you more of an opportunity to win year in and year out? The Phillies or the Mets or the Yankees?
The Yankees, yes. But
when you're getting offered $48.5 million to someone else's 51, Mets at 51 per year, Yankees are at $48.5 million per year. And you choose the Mets over the Yankees. There's only one reason why. They offered the extra $3.5 million. And Soto, go right ahead and do that. Like, I got no problem with Soto doing that. He deserves to get every penny. He's worth every single penny that any team would offer him. He's the best pure batter I've ever seen in my life. Absolute difference maker. Sure, go right ahead. But don't try to tell me that the Mets have a better future. Or I like what they're building over here. Sure. Steve Cohen doesn't give any F's about his money. That's fine.
He never has.
He never has, never will. Their starting pitching sucks.
It's atrocious.
It's so bad.
They were actually such a bad baseball team to end off the season last year.
Their starting pitching worries me to no end.
They have one reliever.
And they're not going out there and getting Corbin Burns. They're just not. They don't have the money to.
They have one reliever.
Yeah. So... Soto went for the money, and that's his right, and that's what he chose. And I'm, like, are we getting to the Yankees now?
Yeah, we are at about an hour, so.
Okay, I'll wrap it up. Yeah. No, I'm not going to wrap it up. I'm not going to rush here. Listen, I think the Yankees, if they make, so far, I usually make an off-season plan of what I want them to do. So far, they have followed it to an absolute T. Kyle Tucker was a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way the Astros are going to give
They're you, not giving the Yankees.
They're not giving the Yankees their second best player on their roster. No. They're just not. And I think the Yankees had a better offer. They had George Lombard in there. They had... they didn't offer Heel, regardless of what reports said. But they had a couple, you know, solid prospects in there, headlined by George Lombard, who plays third base. And the Astros GM said yes, and the owner said no. Okay, that's how sports work. Like, be petty about it. Like, we have a little bit of a rivalry going. Like, I'm fine with that, dude. Like, go thrive in Chicago and go make $400 million next year. That's probably what he's going to get.
I think he's going to get more. But
I think Kyle Tucker's the most underrated player in the league.
I think he's getting $600 at least.
I don't see that because, you know, you look at Bryce Harper, you look at Aaron Judge, right? And I think both of those guys are better than Kyle Tucker. think Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. Year in and year out, until he has a freak injury, I think...
Or in the playoffs, but yeah, sure.
Okay, whatever.
Am I wrong?
Like...
He's the best regular season player of all time, sure.
So, and he's making 30, like, what is it, 40 million a year?
Something like that, yeah.
So I just, like, players don't normally make three-fourths of $1 billion. It's because Cohen was out of his mind.
Okay, you're saying... Soto,
and Ohtani brings in the entire Japanese market, so you're going to make back that money. And they also deferred it all.
Okay, you're also ignoring the fact that the market is only going up in baseball.
Right. Kyle Tucker, 10 years ago, is making $200 million.
Yeah. Now he's going to make 600 with how the market's
not,
going.
He's not at 600.
I easily think it
unless,
is.
Unless he has a career year, which hitting at Wrigley is a nightmare with the wind. I just don't see that. He was playing in a dome. And yeah, he got hurt last year. But I just don't see it. I don't see him putting up 35 home runs at Wrigley. Because it's Wrigley.
I think he could because it's Kyle Tucker.
Anyway. I think the Yankees have followed everything to an absolute T, which is what I wanted to see from them. They made all the moves that I said that they should have made, and that was, first and foremost, you know, I wanted Juan Soto. He didn't sign. I was here at the apartment when he didn't sign, and, like, it hurt. It hurt really bad, and, like, part of me wants to say, like, oh, this is the Mets World Series. Like, oh, yeah, you took someone from Big Brother, you know? I'm not even worried about the Mets, and neither should the Phillies or anyone else in the NL. Like, the NL is absolutely loaded, and, like, the AL has never been more wide open. Like, all the superstars, and it started with Francisco Lindor. Oh, like, yeah. It is insane how stacked the NL is. Like, Dodgers, Padres, Braves, Phillies. Sure, I'll throw in the Mets. Brewers. Brewers aren't going away. I love what the Brewers do, man.
Brewers are good, too.
They always they know their identity, and they get players that fit their identity. And I think Cale Durbin and Nestor Cortez, who the Yankees gave up to go get Devin Williams, I think they fit the Brewers' architecture perfectly. I love that. The Brewers are always good. They know their identity. They get players that will fit their identity. So, no, the Mets don't scare me to make it past the NLDS.
I'd throw the Diamondbacks in there as well.
I don't throw the Diamondbacks in there.
You don't?
No. I think they got hot. They're losing Christian Walker. Jordan Montgomery had a horrible season last year. And he's their quote-unquote ace best outside player. Of Zach Gallen. Yeah. And Zach Gallen's going to leave at some point. I think his contract's coming up, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not worried about the Diamondbacks. I think it's Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Braves. Braves have to stay healthy. So that's why I'm not worried about the Phillies either, though. They're still there. They're still humming. I think the Yankees have done everything perfectly so far after the Juan Soto signed with the Mets. I think...
Are you guys getting Alonso? Do you want Alonso?
I want Alonso.
You want him?
So the Yankees right now, as I said before, are sitting at $269 million. And I was just listening to Talking Yanks.
How much is Alonso worth in your eyes?
A year? He'll get 30.
And you think he's worth that?
He'll get 30.
And you think he's worth that?
He's probably worth 25. I was just listening to Talking Yanks. So, I love John Boy.
So much money.
I love John Boy. Love Talking Jake. James Davis. Here's the thing. They don't realize that the Max Fried contract is backloaded. And if you look at like the last like 6 Instagram posts, I've been commenting, hey, your whole spreadsheet's wrong, because they have this entire spreadsheet of, like, what the Yankee salary cap table is, and, like, they have Max Fried making $27 million a year, which is not it. They converted most of that to his signing bonus, and their next 2 years, they're paying him $12 million, which makes it $14 on the luxury tax. So the Yankees are sitting right now at $269 million, which, and Hal Steinbrenner said that he wants to be around the 300 mark for payroll, which leaves them at, like, $31 million left, give or take. And they're going to dump Stroman's contract, which is $18 million. So they still have, like, $55 million to play with. So I think when it's all said and done, I think they're going to be a better team than the Juan Soto than just them re-signing Juan Soto and calling it an offseason. Max Fried's disgusting. If you don't know Max Fried, you are about to. The dude is... He has to stay healthy.
But that's his concern.
He's a borderline ace when he's right. When he's healthy, he does things. He has a full pitch arsenal of seven pitches. He's gross. And when I look at a free agent signing or a trade, I look about how the other team's fans react to it. And the Braves looks like they lost their puppy. I mean, he's good.
It's a big loss for the Braves.
Huge. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like, maybe the Yankees are just going to say we're just going to get all-out pitching because there's no one on the free agent market bat-wise that's, like, really a difference maker. And, like, I was fine with that. And then the shock, I think, that everyone had was Devin Williams. When you get nicknamed the Airbender, I looked at, like, his changeup, like, sorry, sue me. I don't watch Milwaukee baseball that often.
They have a good bullpen, though, over there.
Oh, yeah, they'll be fine. Milwaukee will be fine without Devin Williams. Yeah. And they were never re-signing him, so it's a great trade. It makes sense for both teams. I think both teams are going to end up winning the trade in their eyes, right? I think Devin Williams really could sign a contract extension with the Yankees because I think he realizes that the Yankees are a big market team that's going to pay relievers. And I think that he, if the money's there, I think he can definitely sign an extension with the Yankees. His changeup, Jake, is unbelievable. It moves. It's like a knuckleball that he has control over. It's a wiffle ball. I've never seen anything like that. And sure, everyone's going to bring up, oh, the Pete Alonso home run. This dude sucks. Haha. The Mets are so much better than the Yankees. They sold Juan Soto and they're all this. Dude, Devin Williams is a top two closer in baseball. It's him and Clase. Every scout will tell you that.
Wow, that's
who's better? Devin Williams.
I haven't heard much about Devin Williams.
He's fantastic. Yeah, because he plays in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
But. He is. Wait, I'm excited. I'm excited because you have a bulb. Someone's going to fill in the seventh, but then you're going to go Weaver to Devin Williams.
Well, you haven't even talked about Bellinger yet.
But the door shut at the end of the game.
Yeah.
With Devin Williams and Luke Weaver. Cody Bellinger, I love what the Yankees are doing. They're getting better defensively. If it took the fifth inning of the World Series for them to wake up and realize that their fundamentals and defense...
have a massive error problem.
It's horrible. Work.
Yeah.
Everyone didn't want to... And, like, Juan Soto was part of that problem. Like, it's so easy now because he signed with the Mets to pick out all of his faults. But the Padres were like, oh, you're getting a below-average fielder. And, like, we saw that in moments with Juan Soto. And, like, now what Cody Bellinger does, it allows you to move Judge back to right field, save his body. And Judge at right field is a gold glover. He can throw out a guy to third from the Yankee right field wall. Because it's only 314 in. He's got an arm that can cover the entire diamond from out there. Put Cody in center, Dominguez in left. And what Cody and Jazz do for you, Jazz can play center, third, and second. Cody can play left, center, and first. And it's just like, it's exactly what they needed to do. It's like every offseason plan that didn't include Juan Soto had Cody Bellinger. And it was just a matter of time.
So I think the Yankees have one more signing in them. And I think it's between first base could be addressed for New York.
It has to be addressed.
It
has to be addressed.
And Alonso, I think, is the one. But then I also think you guys could go out and sign Bregman or Santander.
So if we're looking at, they're going to dump Stroman, which is $18 million. That brings them down to $251 million. So you're looking at an extra $49 million that you have to spend. They need pop. Like, Jazz is going to give you 25 home runs. Cody's going to give you 25 home runs. But you're looking for that guy that's going to put up 30 to 35. And, like, Anthony Santander does that for you. A switch hitter that's going to put up 35 home runs in a season because he's done that the past 3 years. Yeah. I think that's why the Yankees like him so much. But your DH spot is clogged with Stanton, which is fine. Because I'm not going to say anything bad about Stanton. And... You're not going to put him in right field because you want to keep Judge healthy. Like, at some point, Judge is not going to be able to play center field. I think what the Yankees are seriously looking at with Santander is Can they throw him at first base? I think if you can get Santander for $15 to $17 million a year, and he can play average to below average first base, I'm fine with that, because then you can go out and get Bregman. And then you have Gold Glover at third, Gold Glover at short, Gold Glove level at second with Jazz. And it's going to make Santander be like, okay, it's all right. And he already has 72 games in his career playing first base, and he's going to make up for that because he's a switch hitter that hits for pop, which is exactly what the Yankees need. The Yankees need pop right now. So whether that's Pete...
I don't think you signed Santander for $17 million, though. I think Santander's easily going for 23 to 25.
He's not going for as much as Pete. And listen, no one's buying him right now. Everyone's so concerned with the lack of defense in the outfield.
Yeah, but when you hit 45 freaking home runs in a year...
Yeah, well, he's not doing that again. That would be my plan. I think if the Yankees are serious about building
up... You don't want Walker?
No, I don't want Walker. His WAR's been going down consistently. His strikeout rate is at the highest it's ever been. And that's the first sign to show, like...
Regression.
Yeah. I don't want Walker. I'd rather have Pete. But if you're looking at the Yankees having $49 million left over, and you can get... Where are you seeing that Santander is getting...
From sources I'm looking on here, he's looking to get, he personally has said he's looking to get 23 to 25 million a year.
All right. Bregman's 30. Bregman, 6 years, $180 million.
Okay, but you were just saying you wanted to sit around the $300 million mark. You only get one of these guys. That's the thing.
Well, then my head went to Hyesung Kim of the Padres. Second base, doesn't strike out, lot of speed over there, plays a side. He's $12 million. $12 million Bregman, and then you go out and get, just bolster up that bullpen. There's options, and I think what the Yankees love right now is I don't think you're going to see the Yankees go out and make another move until the middle of January, right? Because they're going to sit back and just let the dominoes fall where they fall, right? Because they have defensive flexibility with Cody Bellinger and Jazz right now. And I think it's a great spot to be in. I think this is, if the Yankees get the next two moves right, this will be the best team in the Judge era. And the AL has never been more wide open. The Red Sox, like, people are like, oh, the Red Sox, you know, they just added Crochet and Duran is coming to his own and they still have Devers and, like, sure, the Red Sox are going to be good. They're not going to be great. I think the team that's going to give the Yankees the most issues in the AL is the Rangers. I think Texas is going to have a huge comeback year. I think if they keep DeGrom healthy, they're going to win the AL West. And, you know, Cleveland's, you can book Cleveland in, pencil them in for 90 wins next season, because Cleveland always finds a way to get 90 wins. But they're not a World Series contending team. The Yankees are going to win the pennant again next year. If they field the team right now, how it is with Ben Rice at first and Oswaldo Cabrera at third, they're winning the pennant. And they're only going to get better. They still have more moves to make. Everyone's saying it. So,
yeah.
I think they got a lot of different options of which ways that they can go.
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on where Santander's at, but I would still say, like, sure, the Guardians, I would still throw the Orioles in there as well in that conversation.
Well, the Orioles have had the worst offseason I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they've...
I don't know what... I'm not going to hate on the Tyler O'Neill signing, but, like, you're going to lose Corbin Burns, and your replacement for that is a 35-year-old Japanese pitcher who literally no one has ever heard of until, like, 2 days ago when he signed. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm also not an Orioles
fan. You know who I want for the Phillies? It's not going to happen. Suzuki off the Cubs.
Yeah, that's not going to happen anymore.
That'd be so sick.
There's no way that's happening.
There's no shot that happens now, though.
Because they already dumped their fourth outfielder in Bellinger to the Yankees. All right, hold on. Wait, I'm looking at Santander. Santander. Because last I saw, he was not projected to make that much. He got offered the qualifying, so the Orioles will get one of their beloved picks back. Market value, market value, market value. I can't press it. Oh my gosh. Jake, your Wi-Fi's stupid.
You're stupid.
Sorry. What the frick?
But I'm telling you, you're going to see 23 to 25.
I don't understand why. There it is. Market value. Average annual salary right now, according to SpotRac, is $17.7 million. His comparison is to Brian Reynolds and Christian Yelich and Nick Castellanos. I think, sure, the market will inflate that, but there's also competition in the outfield. Like, Teoscar is going to get $25 million. That's just Teoscar can actually move his body around.
What is this source?
And the Yankees still have the luxury of, hey, we're just going to wait it out here. And, like, that's cool with us. So, I think there's a lot of moves that the Yankees can make. I said Byron Buxton at the beginning. That's not happening anymore with Bellinger. I don't think the Yankees have any plans of playing Bellinger at first base, though, because you look at the free agent market and there's no outfielders, and there's every first baseman available. You know, Pete, Christian Walker, even Carlos Santana. You know, I think the Yankees have a lot of options at first base. I think they're going to get something of a first baseman in some capacity. They're getting a first baseman. But I think Santander, sure, okay, $20 million. $20 million for Santander, $30 million for Bregman, and you're sitting at $301 million right underneath the tax cut line.
I still think there's so many teams looking for a power slugger in their lineup that he's not going for less than. Like, I could see Santana getting nine figures. It wouldn't shock me. If he gets, like, a five-year...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, he's getting his nine figures.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. 20 mil... Yeah. 20 million, 100 over 5, something like that.
Yeah.
Sure. But and I think the Yankees are definitely looking more for like a stopgap. I don't think the Yankees want to invest their 6 years into a first baseman in this free agent class. Like, which is why I would be okay with Christian Walker. Like, if you tell me you get Christian Walker for 2 years for $32 million, $16 million a year, like, sure. I'm cool with that. He doesn't need to be anything special. So, I think the switch I think the switch hitter appeal is something that I'm really looking at. But, I mean, you got Bellinger, you got Jazz, you got Wells. So, you have your lefties already. Bellinger was a move they needed to make. I love it. I think he's going to just play out of his mind. He already played well in big markets. So, Yankees got a lot of routes to take. The backloaded contract of Max Fried is helping them so much right now. And again, I love talking Yanks, but they continue to say that the Yankees only have $6 million left without dumping Showman's contract, and that is not true. They have a lot more money than that before they hit 300. So, not worried about the Mets. Rangers stink. Knicks are... All right.
Eagles are great. Sixers suck. Philly's in a weird spot. I think we'll be all right.
Get us this year. It's insane how...
Flyers are encouraging.
It's insane how much a quarterback can change the trajectory of a franchise. Get us this year, guys.
You heard it first. Is that a wrap?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward?
Cam Ward.
Now you're getting Sanders, dude.
I just don't want the drama.
You're getting Sanders.
I don't want the drama. I don't want the whole Dion. I don't want the...
You're getting Sanders, bud.
We're going to be like a freaking like sitcom, dude.
You're getting Sanders.
We're going to have like the intro of like Full House, and then it's going to be like starring, and then it's like Brian Daboll turning red screaming at a ref with the yellow font. You know what I'm talking about? And it's going to be like Andrew Thomas and guest star Sexy Dexy, and it's gonna be like Dion's House or something like that. What the show's gonna be called? Or like Dion's World or whatever.
Dion's World. Yeah. Wow, I think
no, Primetime. That's what the show's called.
Yes.
Show's called Primetime. Maybe we should exit with the Full House intro, because that's what I'm expecting.
We're gonna get copyrighted.
Oh please. Full House theme
song. Dude, Tom Thibodeau's hairline. He just needs to go bald.
Here. No ad. Dave McCormick is the only person we are ever sponsoring.
Oh, Dave McCormick.
Anymore. All right. Full House.
We support you, Dave McCormick.
Wow, first episode
Coward
aired.
Coward the turnover.
1987.
Dante was a white.
There, here.
Ooh.
Like, I can just see it.
We gotta get copyrighted, dude.
Dude, and then it's just Deion Sanders and Shador, and like the little baby is like Malik Nabers starring.
Travis Hunter's the neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I just see that, it so perfectly. I'll just turn it down a bit.
Do we think...
Who plays John Sanders?
Is Travis Hunter playing both positions?
Who has a great set of hair?
Shut up. Do you think Travis Hunter's playing both positions in the NFL?
No.
No.
But I think he gives them the flexibility. I think he's going to be a corner. I think it depends
on what team drafts him.
I think it depends on what teams drafts him, which is probably going to be Jacksonville. So I see him playing corner.
Corner, yeah.
But I think it's like, oh, shoot, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. got hurt. Travis, you're not going to play wide receiver for a bit. Give some flexibility. Something that the NFL has literally never had before.
Never seen, yeah.
All right.
All right.
Who's John Stamos? In the Giants franchise. He was a great set of hair. Like, maybe Tommy DeVito's agent.
Full House?
Yeah. Like, Tommy DeVito's agent has to be part of this Full House. You know what I mean? Like, Tim Boyle's, like, the creepy next-door neighbor. You know? Anyway.
All I know is that Cooper DeJean is the dad.
Go Yankees.
Go Eagles.
All right, see you next Thursday.
It's been a blast, guys. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Go Yanks.
Buttons.